Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Good morning, Dan. Thanks for joining us. And what's been the biggest takeaway from the win last Thursday night against Dallas?
Biggest takeaway, well, we played better. That's the biggest thing. We just played better in all three phases. And really, we played complementary football. And at critical moments, we made critical plays. A number of our guys really stepped up, played big ball, and that was a total team effort. We earned that win. That was the most important thing.
If that's the biggest takeaway, you played better. How do you develop consistency with only four games left?
Yeah, I think we just, there again, like we do every week, man, you talk about the things that could creep up and get us. I mean, we still had a number of mistakes, pre-snap penalties, things of that nature. We had a couple of things were not lined up properly, in tempo, illegal formation, who's on, who's off, stuff that should not be an issue. And so we go after those. That's where you start. The stuff that you have complete control over, your own focus, your own discipline, and you start there. And then we go back to what really helped us win that game. That was the takeaways. We actively went after that football, and not that we don't every week, but we went after it and we got some out, And I do think those things are, it is contagious. One leads to the next, to the next, to the next, and pretty soon everybody started to get some punch out. So those were big. We turned them into points.
If you could put your finger on it, why has it been so tough to string back-to-back victories together? Because, we ride the roller coaster, the yo-yos, a big win and then a loss and a win and a loss. Why has it been a challenge maybe to get that consistency so far?
Well, I just think it's, there again, you'd love to be able to just put your finger right on it. I don't think it's always that easy. I know this. I just go back to the, we're not playing clean enough football. And some of it there again, we're making these mistakes that we have not traditionally made, that really comes down to your, like I said, your own discipline. So we clean those up. We keep attacking them. We get some guys to really grow up for us and grow up fast, and then we'll be good.
The benefits and the risks of having the 10 days, Thursday and then not playing till the following Sunday, with the bye week and the extra time, the results weren't great the following week. Last year it was the 10 days, the results weren't great. Is there anything that you're doing to tweak the extra time that you're having in preparation for this game out in LA on Sunday?
No, we're going to attack this like we have most of these. We're going to come in and make sure we get some really good mental work. We get them on the grass for a short period of time. Work our fundamentals, the individual work, and just put together the best game plan we can here to get ready to go face these guys. This is a, this this is it's a really good team, man. This is a complete team. They're playing really good football in all three phases over there. So, you know, we got to play better than we did last week. That's for sure. But we're looking forward to this.
Would you say it's the best team you guys have faced this season?
Well, I think you got to put them up there for sure. You know, we've seen some really good teams, but I think these guys are certainly, there's an argument for that to be made. They got guys in every area. They're loaded with talent. They play hard. They're well coached. They don't make mistakes. You know, and they've got really good players at all the critical positions. So it'll be awesome. I mean, it really will. I mean, this is the cream of the crop right now. So we'll find out where we're at.
Last week against Dallas, obviously you guys were able to get after Dak Prescott. And, I mean, it seems like we're always asking this question.
No
how
kidding.
Do you continue to pressure the quarterback? What's the secret to creating, consistent pressure on the quarterback so it's not 5 1 week and nothing for 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, look, I go back to this. I know it's like, well, why don't you guys just do that every week? Man, every week is different, and every week the opponent's different, and the scheme is going to be a little bit different. And some of these that you can get away with one team, you do that to another team, you're going to give up 50 points. So, look, you can always tweak things. I thought Casey and Shep and those guys made some pretty good adjustments here that don't work for everybody. Our guys responded. They played well. They played well off of each other. And we were. We were very disruptive. And in that, we were also able to stop the run. You know, sometimes it's hard to do some of the things we did the other day and still be able to stop the run. But we asked a lot of them. The backers cleaned up a lot of mess. And so we did both. And most of it in a light box. So that's not easy to do, but we were able to do it. We got to find a way to do that again, which will be a challenge. But, you know, for what that plan was versus those guys and to be able to do what we were able to do against Dak, that was good, man. It helped us win. And there again, we got three takeaways. Three takeaways is big time, man. That's what we're looking for. That's where everything should start, is getting the takeaways.
We're talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. No Brian Branch. I think people would feel a lot better if they knew Kirby Joseph was coming back. What's the last box that he's got to check to get back out on the field?
Well, I think it's, you know, he's got to string a couple of practices together here to where, where he feels good. You know, it looks good. He feels good. He comes in the next day and there's no residual effects from the practice. That's it. I mean, really, we won't know until late in the week. We won't know where this is at. And then we got to, you know, get on the plane and fly West Coast. That's not going to, you know, make things great. But yet, that's part of it. You got to load up and hit high altitude when you got some stuff going on. So, but we'll see. I mean, the good news is he's to a point to where we can get him out there and hopefully string some practices together.
Kiera Awosika was a late scratch last week, and then we saw the combination of Tristan Colon and Miles Frazier. Miles Frazier, his first opportunity to get some NFL experience. What's the plan at left guard this weekend, and just your assessment of what you saw from Miles Frazier?
Well, I think the plan is that I'd like to play Frazier a little bit again, you know, but I like Colon, you know. There's things that can be cleaned up, but you know, Colon did some good things too. So, Frazier, look, that's good. That was his first start, you know, that was his first significant reps against any NFL player. I mean, he didn't play any preseason, no training camp. And he's gotten about, you know, call it six practices against Aleem McNeil and Reeder and those guys. And that helps, but that's not, NFL Sunday football, snap the whistle. You know, it's not the same thing, going to the ground, finishing plays, that whole thing. So, and he went against some really good players, you know, Kenny Clark and Williams over there for Dallas. So those reps will be invaluable for him, and he's going to have to learn from them. And we believe he will. We believe he'll memory bank those and get a little bit better. So I would like to get him in this game, get him a couple more reps, you know, let him grow. But I see us using Colon, too.
Should we read into that Yody's not going to play this week then?
Well, I don't know. We'll see where he's at. I mean, he's going to try to go out and practice here a little bit, but, you know, until I see him out on the grass, I don't know what that's going to be. That's all.
Dan, we get calls. People want to see more of David Montgomery, soften up the defense, that physical style. At the same time, I don't know how you would take Jahmyr Gibbs off the field or limit his touches. So do you want more Monty? Or
well, you tell me, what do you want?
Yeah, I want more Gibbs.
We'll do what you want. Who do you want out there?
I want more Gibbs. You want to give them? That's explosive plays, Dan. I'm all about those. I just wonder if that's
okay,
something
you
that you juggle.
Me. Go ahead. Let me hear it. Give me the share load.
Yeah, I'm thinking 65% Gibbs, 35%
right.
Monty.
All right, so then who do we taking away the receptions for and the passes and the targets? Keep going.
I love
David Montgomery. I love Gibbs. They're both valuable players for us. I wish I could give them both a heavy, heavy load. I wish I could get all of our guys a million touches. The first thing we got to do, we got to convert. We have to convert on third downs or not even get there. First, second down. And reload the down so we get more plays, which enables our playmakers to get the ball in their hand because we're better when they're all involved. We're just a better offense. But that requires us converting. We converted early. And then really we stayed out of third down the other day. We only had eight of them. That's huge. And all those guys stepped up and played big.
Talking about a guy that stepped up and played big, and we heard you talk about it a little bit, but when you're looking at Amon-Ra St. Brown, how impactful, not just in terms of the stat sheet and what he provided, but how impactful was that for the team for him to even be able to go with the injury that he was playing with?
Yeah, it's really indescribable, and I think all of our fans know this, and I hope they do. For anybody that doesn't, what Saint is a rarity, man. He's special. And we're fortunate that we have him. The city of Detroit is fortunate to have him. The Detroit Lions. This guy is—he is unselfish. He is tough as nails. He is smart as a whip. He does anything and everything you ask him to. And if the guy can play, it's as simple as this: if I can go, then I'm going to be able to produce. Otherwise, I can't go. I just can't. I can't do it for my team. It would be hurting them. But if I can go, I'm going to go, and I don't care what it feels like. I'm going to be able to produce. I don't care if I'm 80%. I'm going to beat the guy across from me. That's his mindset. And I'm going to do it for the guy next to me because I owe it to him. That's how he thinks. And if he can't, he feels awful about it, which he shouldn't feel awful. But he's wired a different way, and he's unselfish. And we got a few of those guys on this team. We got more than just him. But that guy is, you know, he's a heartbeat for us, man. He's unreal.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Dan, good luck this week. We'll talk next week with you.
Okay, have a good one.
It's 97.1.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Feedback coming into the Karsh and Anderson inbox. Happy holidays, everybody. Doug Karsh, Gator out today. Just played the best of what Dan Campbell had to tell our morning show. We've had other stuff kicking around today here. Here is some of the feedback that we have gotten. First, let's see here. I think the new college format has led to the lack of development into a shortage of talent in the NFL. New college format has led to a lack of development into a shortage of talent in the NFL. So, interesting. I don't know that I would say... I think one thing that's going to happen with NIL, and this is a whole other topic, is players are going to stay in college a little bit longer. Some players, mid-round picks, because you can make money and try and improve your draft status. It makes financial sense. It makes business sense more so to have undeveloped NFL players get another year of seasoning. Prime example of that actually might be Justice Haynes, running back at Michigan, that Sherrone Moore spoke about yesterday. Look, that's the thing about NIL, and I think as we're all trying to adjust, I'm trying to focus on the stuff that I like about it, about the new era of sports. And what I like about NIL is I think it's good for both leagues. I think the NFL gets more seasoned talent showing up in the draft. I think colleges get to hang on to players longer, which the fans like, the schools like. So maybe that trend will start going the other direction. Regarding Miles Frazier, Scott writes in, we're due to have a guy come out of nowhere. I feel like the law of averages owes us. That would be helpful. What do we got here? The first time he touched the ball against Dallas, he scored. He needs more than seven touches. So this is in regards to David Montgomery. You heard Dan Campbell's answer. If you're comfortable taking touches away from Jahmyr Gibbs, that's fine. If not Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, who do you throw to less? That's fine. The other thing to remember, too, is that games sometimes dictate game plans. I said sometimes. Games always dictate game plans. And so against certain defenses, it probably makes more sense to have a heavier load of David Montgomery. But, I mean, we're talking about one of the most explosive players in the NFL. Every time he touches it, he's a threat to go to the house. Just because David Montgomery scored the first time he touched it. You know who else is actually more likely to score the first time he touches it? Is Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, first time he touched it against Dallas. That was cool. And I think Montgomery's role is very valuable, and I think Campbell put it well. But you want to take less, you want to take carries away from Jahmyr Gibbs. What I like about it is it takes wear and tear away from Jahmyr Gibbs, but they're playing must-win football now. So whatever it takes to win games. Do you think Bears fans ask for more of Matt Sui and less of Walter Payton? That's from Dave in Chelsea. Wow.
Who was the fullback when Barry was playing? Was it Tommy Vardell or somebody else? Was it Touchdown Tommy? Was
Steven Touchdown? Schlesinger? Or was that after?
Were people calling for... They were probably calling for more Schlesinger.
You know what? There was Derek Moore. Derek Moore was in the mix there. He played some fullback. I'm willing to bet the person who has the least problem with Montgomery playing less is Montgomery. His legs get saved for the latter part of his career. That's from Greg in Detroit. Interesting take. If Phillip Rivers wants to come back to the NFL, he must be expecting triplets or something. That's from Chad.
Man, he needs the money. Isn't he like a high school football coach or something?
He was doing something like that. I thought he was coaching his son.
Which one?
Yeah, right. I think he's got seven girls and three boys. One of his sons is named Gunner, I believe. What is Philip Rivers doing now? All it's going to show up is he's trying out for the Colts. But I think he was coaching high school football. Yeah. St. Michael's Catholic in Fairhope, Alabama. Duh. Yeah, Philip Rivers had a workout with the Colts yesterday. Good morning. It has a full week of shootouts. Good morning. It has a week full of shootouts of one type or another. Due to injury and fatigue, every good offense is creating an extra 1 to 2 scoring opportunities. Making good on those opportunities, the key to success, wins. If anybody knows each other's strengths and weaknesses at quarterback, it's the Rams and the Lions. Our kicking game may prove critical. Bold-ass prediction, Lions 42, Rams 38. That's from Paul in Blue Rock, Ohio. Early call in the week here. But it is a massive, massive football game. From Scott, regarding Philip Rivers, Unitas isn't answering his phone. You know, on this morning on Get Up, they brought up Tom Brady. If you're going to call, Philip Rivers, do you also call Tom Brady? And just say, why the hell not? At this point, what difference does it make? Kick the tires on Tom Brady? Look, the Colts are a team that, to their credit, they kind of went all in. They made the two first-round picks. They gave up the two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. And now the delicate nature of the way this thing works, you lose your quarterback to a torn Achilles. I feel so bad for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, I would hate to play in New York. I'm not wired to play in New York. I think playing in New York would suck. But he gets out of New York. He starts to flourish. And is finding that Daniel Jones 2.0 is working. And he tears his Achilles. Achilles injuries, first of all, the number of them has to be up. Secondly, they're like the new knee. They're hard to come back from. Here's poor Philip Rivers having a career resurgence in a town that loves him. After getting beat up in New York, bouncing around, cast off by a team that would have loved to have had him in Minnesota, and finds a home in Indy and is crushing it, and he tears his Achilles. Man, I feel so bad for the guy.
Yeah, he was obviously pretty pissed and frustrated. You see him slamming his helmet onto the ground. Mm-hmm. And I think there was video of him kind of clutching his Achilles like the play or two before. Like maybe it was already sore or something. You know what I mean? It was already something compromised, right? And then obviously he steps back and he tears his Achilles on the next play. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, but we talk about the resurgence of quarterbacks in the right situation. You know, quickly, the league and fans and media are quick to give up on a guy when a lot of times it depends on the situation they're in. You talk about being in New York. I mean, maybe that just wasn't for Daniel Jones. But yeah, now to call on a 44-year-old Achilles instead of one that has a ruptured Achilles, I guess seems like the better option for them. This is insane.
It really is. And poor Daniel Jones. But hey, we have our share of injuries here too. I guess we're so focused on that, but man, we've had our share of bad luck. Daniel Jones has had some really, really bad luck. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Champ and Chump are posted on our website. Go see who won Champ and Chump at the weekend at 971theticket.com. Told you who the champ was earlier in the show, and I got an observation about the champ we'll get to at 1202. Also, there's a report out there from an insider. I just cannot understand why we continue to be linked to this person. Somebody's going to have to explain to me, and I'm open to suggestions. Why are we continually linked to this person? We'll get to that at 12:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge, There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
All right, let's get to business. What?
Nothing.
What's the issue?
I was just listening to your additions to that song.
Don't worry about it. I did nothing. Okay. You have a Bears take. And I think it warrants discussion because obviously the rest of the week we'll start to gear up for Lions-Rams on Sunday, which is, these are all must-wins now. You're not going to be allowed to lose a game and feel good about it. You're not going to be able to lose a game and not need a ton of help. They have to beat the Rams if they want to have a legit shot to get in. But there's something else that feeds that opinion. And I think it's partly what you're about to say.
Yeah, and I just want to know, for Lions fans out there, can you be honest right now and set aside your bias for the Chicago Bears and how much you've always hated the Bears and screw the Bears and all of that? Can we just be honest for a little bit and just really ask this question? Look, the Bears right now are the biggest threat to the Lions. The Bears are holding on to your playoff spot. You either need to beat them in week 18 and you need them to lose some games in order for you to reclaim that spot. But it's not just about this season. I'm talking about in the near future. Guys, what is the ceiling for Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, and the Chicago Bears? They're a young team and they're about four draft picks away from being the best team in the North. Lions fans, how do you view the Bears? Are the Bears the new threat to the North? Not the Packers, not the Vikings, but the Chicago Bears, because every time I'm watching the Bears, Mike, look, they lose to the Packers, and I'm sitting there, and look, there's no such thing as a moral victory, but I'm impressed of what I'm watching with this team.
There's the point. Just see, stop right there. Like, this can just be super simple. It's peanut butter and jelly. Everybody was so quick to just say, the Bears are going to crash and burn. And what did they do? They went and beat the Eagles in Philly to the tune of 300 yards rushing. Now, they all right, well, they'll crash and burn now. They had the football at the 14-yard line with a chance to beat the Pack in Lambeau. And they played an incredible second half, not only to stay in the game, but to be in a position to tie it to maybe win it. Look,
and this is all just in the first year under Ben Johnson.
That's the point. All I would tell you is I will be more surprised than not if the Bears last four games don't go at least 3-1. Yeah. I mean, I expect them to beat the Browns. I expect them to beat the Niners. I expect them to beat the Packers. I could queue up a loss in the last game based on they may not need it.
And that's just it. If they go that route, I think you're almost mathematically eliminated at that point.
You just need a lot of help. It's why I've said without beating the Rams, it's all wasted energy. But no, I feel like I said this on the Sunday night show. You don't have to make fun of a team when they lose. Like, you're never going to champion it. But it was the idea of going to Green Bay in a game that you're supposed to get beat. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to get beat handily. I thought they played a really credible game. And in the second half, they battled back by running the football, controlling TOP, winning the line of scrimmage. That's playoff football. Right. And despite Wojo's sarcasm in the bullpen last night, Caleb Williams was very good.
And the fact that at the end of the game, Micah Parsons is giving him all types of praise, saying he's a problem. Like, I'm trying to catch this guy, and he just keeps eluding me. And it's just like, that's Micah Parsons. That's one of the best defenders out there. And he's saying, look, man, Caleb is a problem.
Yeah.
That got me to, like, this team, like, Kyle Manungai, like, really? He looks like he's still at Rutgers the way he's playing. They don't have the toys that the Lions have. We got Gibbs and we got Montgomery and we got J-Mo. They're doing this with a bunch of young guys that they got through their draft picks. They go full drafting of defense this year, and they hit, let's say they hit on four or five of the six players that they
draft. But see, you're going to a place that doesn't need to go.
Okay.
Who gives an F about next year?
Okay.
I'm talking right now.
All right.
Is it time for Lions fans to stop acting like
and it's just own the fact that the Bears are a good team?
Yeah.
And the Bears are actually.
And that you may not go to Soldier Field and beat them.
Better than you.
No, if you want to take it there, take it there. My point is, it's not a fait accompli that the Bears are going to fall apart and miss the playoffs. I do think that needs to stop. No, next year, you're right. I'm not playing fly swatter. If anyone thinks what Ben Johnson's doing is cute or somehow synthetic, invalid. No, make no mistake, there's a very good possibility the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers are going to be better than you next year. That's not the conversation for now, but no, you're not wrong.
Oh, not right. Now they're in your way, and they're not going to collapse because everybody kept telling me, oh, just wait, they're the Bears. They can't keep this thing going. They'll start losing. Caleb's a weirdo. Ben Johnson's not that good. Guys, they are that good. Caleb is winning, and he's getting better game.
Here's an idea. It should look really familiar what the Bears are turning into because it's exactly what you turned into. Instead of Dan Campbell, it's Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. But they loaded the wagon on the O-line. They drafted a running back and signed a running back. Sound familiar? Yeah. They went out and drafted some elite skill players, and you have an offensive genius calling the plays.
And
yes, you bombed them in week two when they weren't a finished product.
The fact of when I watched, the play they scored their last touchdown on, and I'm sitting there saying, I've seen this play before. I mean, he took it straight from what the Lions did where they fake it, tight ends wide open. He schemes guys wide open, and they are a problem. So 248-539-9797, Lions fans. Can we get over the fact of that you think that the Bears are going to be hot garbage and just admit they're a problem?
Yeah, are the Bears on your radar, or do you still think this is a gimme the last week of the season and you're just going to beat the Bears because, well, we beat them in week two? Look, wins and losses matter. That's why tiebreakers exist. But the team you played in week two is not who you're facing in week 18. Just like you have a right to get better, they have a right to get better. Mm-hmm. Teams... it's better or worse. There's no static.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Bears have earned my respect. That win in Philly, combined with the effort they had in Green Bay, in a game that I thought when it went to 14-3 at the half, they gave up the bomb, I went, okay, they're about to get railroaded.
The win in Philly was a shot heard around the world. That's when everybody said, okay, maybe we need to start paying attention to the Bears because I think everybody had them written off. Okay, but you're not going to beat the Eagles.
Right.
You've beaten a bunch of bad teams. And yeah, that's cute and all of that. No, guys, Bears, good.
Yeah, here's the other one, too, and I admit it. Is Caleb a weird kid?
Yep.
But let's move that to the side. He's almost impossible to sack right now. From a guy who got sacked 65 times last year to a guy on 33 unblocked pressures this year, meaning free rusher. Mm-hmm. You know how many times he's been sacked?
Too many.
Zero. He's really learned how to escape.
Like I said, when Micah Parsons is giving you your props, I'm listening.
Yeah, he sucks.
Like Mike is like, no, he's a tough guy to deal with, and just when you think you got him, you don't. Yeah, this team, and I'm looking at the way that they just get guys open, and they're getting better and better each week. Script writers, it's week 18, winner take all. But they may not even need that.
No, if they do exactly if what they you do say, their job, that's
if they
the
win their next three.
Well, I think it's just ultimately they have the Browns, and then they have, I believe, the Niners.
Right.
Or no, they have the Packers. Look, if they win this, all I'm saying is their effort in Lambeau allows me to say with a straight face, I think they can hold serve at home. Mm-hmm. If they do that, that hurts the Lions badly.
Yeah,
you need the Packers to beat the Bears twice to give you your best chance. The point I want to make is, even if that happens, you still have to beat the Rams, but you would have to beat the Bears. And I'm not convinced you're going to Soldier Field the last week of the year and doing that. So do the Bears have your attention? Because to me, there are no super teams. I think the Rams are as close to a super team as there is. I don't think there's this discussion about anyone being hyper elite. That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is, if you're honest about what the Lions are, you're moving them down off the pedestal, and you're taking the Bears out of the gutter and bringing them to the street. Yeah. That's all this is.
Yeah. Yeah, you can stop calling the Bears cute. They're actually good.
John, the Lions didn't play this weekend.
No, they did not.
But we were paying very close attention around the NFL because they need help. On Friday's show, you didn't want to get too much into the playoff picture. You wanted to focus on beating the Cowboys, and I respect it. Mm-hmm. It is now Monday. Will the Lions make the playoffs? Where do you stand today?
I do think they make the playoffs. They've got to, and here's where, and I forget the exact years, it was 85 and 2008 is what I said. The 2008 Patriots won 11 games, didn't make it in. The 95, whoever, 85, sorry. There was a team in 85 that won 11 games, and that was a 16-game schedule. Since it has gone to 17 games, an 11-win team has never been left out of the playoffs. So that means the Lions have to win three of their final four games. Do you think they win three of their final four games?
I'm not sure. I'm not. Throw in the Brian Branch injury, throw in the fact they haven't won back-to-back in 2 months. I'm not sure that they go 3-1. And I'm also not sure if 3-1 is the lock that it's been historically. Just because of what's going on, San Francisco keeps winning, Seattle keeps winning. I think we got the ideal outcome with the Bears losing.
Sure.
But, John, there's a world where if the Bears draw even with Green Bay and beat San Francisco and also beat Cleveland...
Right.
It doesn't matter if we beat them in week 18.
There is a path where if they are an 11-win team, I'm just telling you historically, and again, the history isn't long for the 17-game season, but weird things happen, and you never know what they're going to be from now until the end of the regular season, and I think if they get to 11 wins, obviously, if they just take care of their own business and win all four, they're going to be in.
Yeah, I believe that's accurate. If they win out, they're in. Now, the big roadblock is they've got L.A., the best team in football, on the road as their next opponent. And, John, at the same time, the Bears, who, again, we just drew a game within, are going to play Cleveland this week. Most likely outcome is we will be two games back with 3 weeks to go. So it's why I'm still of the belief, and the odds support it, that they don't make the playoffs. It's 43% as people wake up today with 4 weeks to go. 43% odds are they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys have processed it, that Cowboy win was awesome, but ultimately it doesn't prove anything unless they can go 3-1 the rest of the way. Or, I mean, look, beating the Rams would change everything. 248-539-9797. Are they in or are they out? What do you think happens at the end of the season?
So let's just take it one game at a time. And it's the Rams. Obviously, they are one of the best teams in football. They may be the best team in football right now. And you look at the way that they're playing and what are their strengths? Defensive line. And obviously their offense, they just seem, with Matthew Stafford playing at an MVP level right now, and the, you know, Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, they've got the, you know, the kind of the two-headed, they're starting to develop that two-headed monster at running back.
Yep.
The odds are long.
They're the overwhelming Super Bowl favorite right now.
Correct. But I'm just talking about, okay, this week.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the level of caliber opponent they're playing. Right. And specifically, I think the front. And we'll dig into it over the course of, you know, a full week here. The front they're going to play, those types of fronts have hurt Detroit when they faced Green Bay, when they faced Philadelphia, Kansas City to an extent. Like, again, this team has made a habit of beating the Commanders and the Giants and the Cowboys now while losing to the Packers and the Eagles, and I don't feel good about the Rams.
No, I don't feel good about the Rams either, but to sit there and say that they can't win...
Didn't say can't.
I know you didn't say that. I know there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, why even bother going because you can't beat the Rams. Well, that's why we play the game. And no, it's not going to be like the Carolina. Everybody's the people that are pro-Lion in this matchup say, well, the Carolina Panthers beat them. Mm-hmm. Well, that was in a monsoon.
Cross country.
Yes. And it's just, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, that's not going to happen in L.A. It's simply that weather scenario is not going to happen. And then you go back to Dan Campbell's first year playing against the Rams. Well, you can't have multiple onside kicks. Like, it just, it doesn't happen.
Forgot
now.
About that game. That's a good pull.
And so there's a lot of things. You're just going to simply have to go out there and play good football. And it's with Brian Branch being down. Don't know if Kirby Joseph is going to be back. The secondary, the Legion of Whom, they're going to have to play like they did against Tampa, like they did last week, and find a way to force some mistakes.
So there's a couple of big differences. The Legion of Whom, last time they faced a borderline MVP candidate in Baker Mayfield, it was one in Detroit.
Correct.
Two, they didn't have Godwin, Bucky Irving, and they lost Mike Evans in the game. Mm-hmm. This team will have Kyren Williams, they will have Davante Adams, and they will have Puka Nacua out west.
Mm-hmm. And Blake Orm. Don't forget that two-headed monster in the backfield.
I did notice that you made sure to slip that in there.
Well, because they use both guys.
They do, yeah. And I think this last week showed you. They were so balanced. They had 30 first downs, and they throttled Arizona.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. What do you guys think now? As you sit on this, stretch run is here. The odds say the Lions won't make the playoffs. Do you believe they get in or not?
I can't wait to get to some of our callers because I think they're making some great points. And it's... So the question then is if we're going to go on game by game, right, with the Steelers. Right, what are the Steelers? All of a sudden we thought, hey, we were kind of all leaving them for dead, and then Baltimore craps the bed, the Steelers get a win. And I don't think anybody's looking at the Steelers as, they're certainly not Super Bowl contenders, but they're doing everything they can to remain in the game. And Mike Tomlin, even though there are some people that think his time in Pittsburgh has run its course, and maybe it has, is he not still a really good coach? Does he find ways to manufacture wins?
He does. So suddenly, the Steelers look a little tougher. The Vikings, I know they only played the Commanders. Dominant, convincing win. And
did 9 make an appearance?
I don't know if 9 played. JJ did. And then the last game of the season is not a gimme. Like, I know the Bears lost.
Correct.
But they are much better than when they faced the Lions back in week 2. And, John, I won't be surprised if they beat the Packers and even things up in the second meeting in Chicago. And look, let's get to the calls. 248-539-9797. I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. Let's get to John in Detroit. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, like I was explaining, the Lions, we can make the playoffs, right? We can get in there. We have to go back to what we did last year. Last year, we... used David Montgomery as the number one running back. Every time David came in, he ran every defense down. That's how we was controlling the clock last year. That's how we got a lot of our wins. After David Montgomery got finished running the defense down, what did they do? They brought Jahmyr Gibbs in after the defense was tired. And he ran all over any team. And we got to go back to that format. Use Montgomery to tire the defense out and control the clock. Last year, that's how we got a lot of our wins. We controlled the clock a lot of the times. So he was getting us third and one and first downs, and Jahmyr Gibbs would come in and just run all over the defense because they was tired from dealing with Montgomery. This season, they put number one for Jahmyr Gibbs, and they don't use Montgomery no more. So every time we do three and out, guess what? That's hurting us because our defense stay on the field more than our offense do. And that's what's killing the Lions right now. Now, if we go back to running David Montgomery, using him number one, and let him tire the defense out, and then bring Jahmyr Gibbs in to run all over the defense after they tired, we can make the playoffs. Easy.
Well, I'll build on your point. Last year against the Rams, what, all the way back in week one, how did they win that game? They bludgeoned them with David Montgomery. Now, that was late in the game, but they bludgeoned them with David Montgomery. Look, if they beat the Rams, the math on this changes dramatically.
Yeah, oh, no question it does.
Yeah, I just...
And I don't necessarily agree with they have to lead with David Montgomery to tire the defense right out, like John was talking about there, but... I do agree that he needs to be a big part of the equation.
Yeah. All right, Lions fans, we'll get more of your phone calls in the mix. 248-539-9797. You sat on it over the weekend. It's Monday. Do you think this team makes the playoffs? 97-1.
We'll talk with the quarterback today at 10:30, Jared Goff. In the meantime, we had the 10 text question. I saw something I found interesting today. You know how they have all scenarios, the percentage chances attached to them? For instance, the Lions have a 39% chance of making the playoffs as it stands right now. I'm a little bit more chesty than that. Not a lot more chesty, but a little bit more than 39%. But this is a mathematical formula, so no. I'll just stick with the math. But anyway, I found a percent chance attached to winning the division. And we asked you for 10 texts, what percent chance do you think the Lions have of winning the division? I'm going to read these. Kang, I want to get your answer. Kevin in a van says 10%. They are in need of a lot of help with Green Bay and Chicago losing key games. Tim at work says the Lions have a 0% chance of winning the division. I'm a loyal Lions fan. Alex says 21% chance to win the division. Chris in Davidson says 38% chance to win the division. Ryan, driving to Chicago, says 25% chance Sunday means everything. From Kelson Connors in Fenton, 34% chance. From Mike in Livonia, 5% chance of them winning the division. Jane Avan says 15%. Our chances rely on the Packers and Bears to lose 2 out of 4 and us to win out, which is hard with that Rams game coming up. Cal at work says, I think the Lions have a 31% chance, shot in the dark. Mike in Washington says, I say 50%. My buddy in the truck says 5%. Kang, what percent chance do you give the Lions to win the division? What do you think it's at?
What do I personally think it's at?
Yeah.
With zero data, zero research, I'm going to say 10%.
Okay.
That's just my gut feeling.
Just what your guess would be.
Yeah.
So there's a story today in The Athletic, and it is... You know, it's the, I actually think it was in their power rankings. Let me double check this. And it kind of ranks, it has the Lions and all the scenarios on how they could play themselves out this year. Let me find it here real quick. They kind of did a deep dive with the Lions and the percent chance to make the playoffs. Here we go. They have 0% chance to be the worst team in football and have the number one pick. They have a 61% chance to miss the playoffs and pick between 2 and 18 in the NFL draft. They have a 34% chance of being the wild card, the 5, 6, or 7 seed. And I got to give credit where credit is due. So Mike in Washington, who's riding around in a truck with his buddy, your buddy's right. According to The Athletic, it is a 5% chance to be the division champ, according to this, which would be the number 2, 3, or 4 seed, given, well, they could be, actually could be the 1 seeds. They still have a mathematical chance to be a 1 seed, division champ, plus a number 1 seed and a bye, which I decided today I'd throw a little flyer down on that. Because why the hell not? I figure if they beat the Rams, you never know, things change, and the odds were ridiculous. Yeah, if the Lions, I put $5 down on the Lions to be the one seed, and I'll win $880 if it comes true. Total flyer. Total flyer. But anyway, 5% chance. So that's to win the division. So that means a 5% chance of either the Lions running the table, Green Bay beating, or Chicago beating Green Bay, and Denver beating Green Bay is the most direct path. It can happen in other ways. It would mean more losses for Chicago and Green Bay. But if the Lions run the table, we just need Chicago to beat Green Bay and Denver to beat Green Bay. Which, you know, I mean, those are huge ifs. But that's why this game Sunday is so big. Because the Lions can beat L.A. They can beat anybody on the remainder of their schedule. I mean, right? They're in a good shot there. They will hold tiebreakers over then the Rams and Chicago, which are two power brokers in the NFC right now. You know, it frequently comes down to who you beat. And the Lions have some very useful victories. The loss to Green Bay, losing a tiebreaker to Green Bay may not matter at all because they got that odd, comical NFL tie. But, you know, losing the tiebreaker to Philly could matter. Philly can't win a damn football game anymore all of a sudden. And that's how things have changed since the Lions played them. I bet Lions fans feel better about their team today than the two teams that played in last year's Super Bowl feel about their teams. Think about that for a second. The Phillies lost three straight, and Kansas City is 6-7 and two full games out of the playoffs. Like, Kansas City's in a world of hurt. So now it's up to Detroit to take care of business. And it's a million-dollar question. Can they? Because, you know, they're an underdog for a reason. But this Rams game is huge. It's absolutely huge. And they've kind of backed themselves into this corner where they've got to do some heavy lifting, and it would definitely be heavy lifting. They might have found something. It was interesting listening to Dan Campbell this morning. He sounds pretty encouraged about Miles Frazier's game, because that comes against a pretty damn good interior defensive line by the LA Rams. And when you look at, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, said there's guys that aren't playing that are probably going to play key roles. And I was talking about in-house guys, and that guy might be Miles Frazier. And I also said there's somebody out there on the street that might play a key role. And, you know, that could be DeMonte Casey, the player they signed yesterday, who I have to see if Goff has played against him. But he has been a playmaker at safety. You have to question how good a guy is if he's on the street. But it feels to me like a risk worth taking for a veteran playmaking safety. He could be the guy off the street that fits the qualifications that I talked about. A player that isn't in Detroit that could help them down the road. The last, you know, he has 17 career interceptions. Here's the last 4 years, 2, 2, 2, and 1 interception. He obviously got let go, so it wasn't as if, you know, people were chomping at the bit to have him, you know, on their roster. But maybe he helps Detroit. Bit of a flyer, but you just never know. All right, we'll talk with Jared Goff in a few minutes. Just to remind you, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all our shows anywhere in the United States. Also streaming through our website, 971 The Ticket, where Evan has posted Champ and Chump of the Weekend. I already told you who was Champ. You can see who was Chump. That was also kind of a runaway. Champ and Chump on 971 The Ticket. You can stream there. Stream with video, twitch.tv and youtube.com. I got some compliments on my shirt today. Thank you very much. If you want to see it, go to youtube.com or twitch.tv. You can watch the show and participate in the streaming chat, where a lot of folks do exchange ideas, and sometimes we read them on the air. Lions quarterback Jared Goff is next here on 97.1.
Oh, Rico, you just heard that, right?
Yeah. uh-oh, Izzo got a raise. So with everything going on at U of M, I'm sure the Detroit newspapers are scrambling for an Izzo hit piece. How much money's enough for one man?
Oh, you know it, and it'll probably get dropped tonight around 11 p.m. because nothing else happened in the sports world in this state.
No, but we do have a sports happening right now. We welcome in royalty. We welcome in our man, TJ Lang, joining us. Maybe he can calm our nerves. Maybe he'll make us feel worse.
And we do what are you nervous about, Michael?
Well, we have discussed. Well, how about this? Before we do Lions, Rams, and sum total, what do you make of this Kirby Joseph thing?
Yeah.
The whole handling of this, it just has felt weird from the beginning. Oh, he might be a candidate for IL. Really, TJ? There's 4 weeks left in the season. What's your read on this? What the hell happened here?
I don't know. I just think that, you know, he just can't get it back right. And certainly if they knew it was going to be this long, I think they would have put him on IR a couple months ago, right? I mean, we're going on, what, 8 games now? I mean, that's
2 months.
It's obviously a roster spot that you could have had for somebody else, but I think they're just holding out hope. And now, especially with Branch being out, if you could get Kirby back to 75%, 80%, that could give you 30, 35 play. Like, but it's just something keeps happening in practice where, and Coach, I don't know the exact injury. I think Coach said, you know, bone bruise or something that Kirby's going to have to deal with. Like, it's just going to be part of, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, it's very rare to have injuries that are untreatable, you know? Like, sometimes you'll say, hey, you know, this is going to be something I got to get taken care of in the offseason, got to get a procedure or surgery, but that doesn't even sound like it's a possibility. So it's confusing, but I know that, you know, we're frustrated. I know they're probably even more frustrated because I don't think it was misdiagnosed. I just think it's something that's been lingering, and, you know, you don't want to put that guy at risk if it's potentially going to make it worse.
It just seems like this team refuses to say our guys get injured and they're hurt. It's always, well, we'll see. And, you know, we'll see what happens in practice and the thing is, like, his arm just fell off. I don't think he's coming back.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think if anything, they're usually more cautious with injuries. And you've seen that. That's kind of been their philosophy, I think, you know, throughout their regime is, you know, if you're not able to practice, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you know, we're not going to put you out at risk. There's certainly some guys where you look at last week and Amon-Ra, and hey, I don't get yourself healthy. It's a Thursday game. If you don't practice all week, but can come give us a play, like, you're the exception to that rule. But most guys fall under, I think more of the cautious side of, you know, let's make sure we're going to put you on IR. It's going to be 4 games. I know maybe you can come back in 2 or 3, but we want to make sure we can get this right before we put you back out there. I think that's more of their MO. I just think that the Kirby news is, sure, it's frustrating because he's a great player. He signed me to a big extension, and now he's got an injury that he's dealing with that just keeps lingering. And I don't think anybody's to blame. I just think that it's one of those things that just, like, man, like, is this how it's going to be now? Are we going to have to put him on an injury management program, you know, for the rest of his career and make sure we manage this thing? Because Coach did kind of mention that this isn't going to be something that's probably going to go away for Kirby. He's going to have to find a way. If he can get back on the field to deal with it.
He's going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
I think what he said.
Which is just odd because there's just not many injuries.
Correct.
These days, Mike, right? That's like most injuries. It's like, okay, I'm going to have to get a surgery. I'm going to be out 4 to 6 months, right? But you wait till the offseason to do that. That doesn't even sound like it's a possibility for him. So that's what's confusing, I think, on my part to try to understand and try to comprehend just what it is. And it's not any of our business, but obviously I've been through a lot of injuries myself and seen a lot of injuries and been around the game for a while. It's just, it's a weird one, man. It is.
Last injury thing, and then we can just get to Rams-Lions. This will be a nice opportunity. Not that you need an invitation. You can call me an idiot. I think the Branch injury is devastating. And I know maybe he's had some spotty moments this year. But he is a chess piece that they move all over the place. Brings a physicality to that run game. You don't have another guy like him. Like, that was the last straw for me as far as me hoping they can win a Super Bowl. Am I overstating the Branch injury? Do you share my concerns? Where are you at with that?
No, you're an idiot. Yeah.
Good talk.
No, you told me I'd call you one. I can't pass up that opportunity.
I have no issue with it. It was an invitation.
Well, it hurts even more, especially with, you know, both your safeties, right? With the Kirby news being out and not being able to, you know, give you his high level of play back there. So, yeah, Brian Branch is, you know, he's a hell of a player, man. And like you said, I mean, there's been times this year where, you know, the Green Bay game, I didn't think he played great. I thought there was a couple coverages in there where, you know, the fourth down that he got beat on the touchdown was like, okay, that's kind of weird. You don't see him really get beat like that. But no, he's a hell of a player, man. That's going to be a loss. Anytime you lose a starting player especially at one of his caliber, that is a game changer, that upped up potential to be a game changer. And what he does not only in the secondary, but supporting the run and coming up and being violent and coming off the edge. Like, he is a guy that you have to be worried about if you're the opposing offense. You got to know where he's lined up because he's got the ability to make those plays. So certainly I'm not going to downplay the loss and say, you know, I'll plug the next guy in. They found ways to do that, which is admirable. You know, when Branch was out earlier in the season with the suspension and the Legion of Whom, like, they found ways to do it. But if you have to do it one game, you know, here or there, like, it's like, okay, we can package this thing together. But
yeah,
when it's an injury like this,
you want to do this.
What's in an injury like this where he ain't coming back? Yeah. It's like, okay, we're going to have to find guys that can step in and, I'm not going to say, you know, fill his shoes, but can they give you some of the production that you're going to be missing from that role? I think that they've got a couple guys, whether it be by committee or, you know, the Daniel Thomases of the world or Thomas Harpers of the world, like, can they step in? They've proven they can do it game here, game there. But now that you're going to be the guy for the rest of the season, you're going to have to be consistent with that. And that's the thing that I think Brian Branch brought the most is, you know exactly what you're getting from him. Every play, he's going to be where he's supposed to be. He's going to do exactly what he's going to do. He's just going to be a consistent player for you. Now the challenge is finding somebody that can replace him that can give you maybe 75, 80% of the production that you were getting from Branch. But no, it's going to be a challenge.
All right. You want to go to phone? Right. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
No, I wanted to ask TJ's confidence
level before we.
No. I wanted to give everybody a chance here. I thought Rico was about to speak, and I didn't want to ask three in a row to you. I didn't want to badger you. No, we're talking confidence level. Like, asking people. Lions fans generally have a high confidence in their team. I don't have any confidence. Like, I have low to very low confidence. They haven't won back-to-back games since September 28th. I think the Rams are the best team in the league. They're balanced. Teach, I mean, I'm not saying there's never no hope, maybe unless you're the Titans. The point is, I just don't have, like the Raiders. Okay, I think we're fairly hopeless.
Yeah.
You're just hoping to cover a spread. But, like, where are you at as you get ready to get on the plane? Like, if you have a high level of confidence, could you offer some reasons? Because I can't find them.
I don't have a high level of, like, I don't want to say, like, arrogance or anything. Like, what are everybody talking about? Look, it's the Rams. You know, we should go in there and be. They are a good team. When you look at it, though, and the last couple of days watching their last, you know, three or four games and kind of studying their personnel and the schemes that they do, like, they're pretty simple when you look at it, but it looks confusing and it looks, you know, it looks advanced because there's just so many moving pieces and, like, the motions that they use. It's like, okay, I could see where you could kind of trick somebody's eyes, you know, in that situation. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, when you look at these two teams on paper, they're pretty damn similar. Like, they are, when it comes to rushing yards, passing yards, third down percentages, defense, you know, red zone, like, you look at all the stats and they're all, like, right next to each other. Now, that doesn't tell the whole story because I think the Rams, what they've been able to do is play at that level much more consistent than the Lions have for the past eight games, right? After you started 4-1, every week's been up, down, up, down, up, down. And obviously you're coming off of a high, you know, last Thursday against the Cowboys. The challenge for this team is you got to be consistent. And it sucks saying that in the middle of December because this is the time where you'd like to see it ramp up. Right. Now, that could happen. Like, that Dallas game last week, and I know people, oh, well, Dallas wasn't that. Like, Dallas was one of the hottest teams coming in here.
They were.
And you played the type of game that we are used to and that they are used to playing. Okay, if you play that way again, offensively, you control the line of scrimmage, and defensively, you get some stops and some big takeaways. Like, you can – you that's – that
TJ, it was a takeaway.
You have to be consistent with it, though, right? And that's the thing that I look at. And as we approach kickoff, I normally talk myself into being more confident, you know, when you're at the stadium and, like, okay, man, like, yeah, we did. These guys can do it, right? Like, they're no world beaters over there. They got players. Okay, whatever. We got players, too. But I think that, look, the offensive line, I think, took a step last week. I think Miles Frazier actually gave him a little bit of a boost there. I don't know if Mahogany, I know he practiced a little bit this week. I don't know if he's going to be a realistic option to get back in there at left guard this week yet. But even with that being said, I think that they kind of found something where Cologne had a decent game. I think Miles Frazier had a decent game. It looked to me like they were solidified a little bit up front, which that was, if we're being honest, over the last eight games, you talk about some of the highs and some of the lows. A lot of the lows was because, oh, Jared Goff's just not getting the time. And I think that, look, the Rams' defense is really good. That front is really good, man. They've got 6-7 guys that rotate. They're young. They're energetic, man. They bring it. They're physical. They're nasty. But if you can match up to them and you can run the ball and you can keep the play-action game going and you cannot shoot yourself in the foot with some of the illegal formations and the false starts that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, like, I think you can go toe-to-toe with these guys as long as you just don't make that big crucial mistake, right? Like, this team's still good enough where you shoot yourself in the foot once in a while, you can overcome it. Some of the mistakes that they've made in their losses, like, you're shooting yourself in the head, man. Like, you're just not giving yourself a chance to go out there and win. As long as you avoid that big mistake and give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter, I think these two teams are honestly pretty even, man. I do.
You think you can get
some of what he's smoking. Wow.
No, you think
Well, you asked me, you know, for
I did. I'm just
a little bit, of boost. I'm shocked. I mean, you know, it's the and you mentioned all the time. It's the former player in me. Like, you never go into a game thinking like, oh boy, like, hold on, boys, it's gonna be a tough one.
Can you get another game out of Bobby Muhammad?
Like, man, I'll tell you what. That. Like, and I know that we hit on it last week, but you know, they took a lot of heat after that Green Bay game, and I think I even told you guys like, Dad, man, you look at that Green Bay game, and if you rush like that against Matthew Stafford or Dak Prescott, like, you're gonna start getting home and getting some of those plays. And we saw that come to life against Dallas with the five sacks and the hurries and the pressures. The biggest thing was that defense got to play with a lead going into the fourth quarter. And that's a defensive lineman's dream, man. Now you got Hutch. Now you got Muhammad stepping up in some of those big moments. So, yeah, if you can keep this thing close, you can, you know, try to shut down the run game where you force L.A. into more shotgun plays. That's not Matthew Stafford's bread and butter. He wants to do exactly what Jared Goff does, where it's the play action. I want to be under center. I want to max protect, get my two stud receivers out on the edge, you know, one-on-ones, and take some shots down the field. But if you can force him into some third downs, man, you know, that defensive line, that pass rush is going to have a chance to get home and maybe make one of those big plays.
We'll get to the people. If you have a question for TJ, got a couple open lines, 248-539-9797. We'll get to the picks later in the hour. David, I added a few. You left a few critical things off the pick sheet. Don't worry. We're going to have some fun with it. But we do have
what do you want, like a
questions.
D2 basketball game?
That Mike studies. More Army-Navy stuff.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.